Chapter 1. My first day on the job coincided with the first day of the Hayden walkout, and I'm not going to lie, that was some awkward timing. A feed of me walking into the FBI building got a fair amount of play on the Hayden news sites and forums. This was not a thing I needed on my first day. Two things kept all of the agora from falling down on my head in outrage. The first was that not every Hayden was down with the walkout to begin with. The first day participation was spotty at best. The agora was split into two very noisy warring camps between the walkout supporters and the Haydens, who thought it was a pointless maneuver given that Abrams-Kettering had already been signed into law. The second was that, technically speaking, the FBI is law enforcement, which qualified it as an essential service. So the number of Haydens calling me a scab was probably lower than it could have been. Aside from the agora outrage, my first day was a lot of time in HR, filling out paperwork, getting my benefits and retirement plan explained to me in mind-numbing detail. Then I was assigned my weapon, software upgrades, and badge. Then I went home early, because my new partner had to testify in a court case and wasn't going to be around for the rest of the day, and they didn't have anything else for me to do. I went home and didn't go into the agora. I watched movies instead. Call me a coward if you like. My second day on the job started with more blood than I would have expected. I spotted my new partner as I walked up to the Watergate Hotel. She was standing a bit away from the lobby entrance, sucking on an electronic cigarette. As I got closer, the chip in her badge started spilling her details into my field of vision. It was the Bureau's way of letting its agents know who was who on the scene. My partner didn't have her glasses on, so she wouldn't have had the same waterfall of detail on me scroll past her as I walked up. But then again, it was a pretty good chance she didn't need it. She spotted me just fine in any event. "Agent Shane," said my new partner to me. She held out her hand. "Agent Van," I said, taking the hand. And then I waited to see what the next thing out of her mouth would be. It's always an interesting test to see what people do when they meet me, both because of who I am and because I'm Hayden. One or the other usually gets commented on. Van didn't say anything else. She withdrew her hand and continued sucking on her stick of nicotine. Well, all right then. It was up to me to get the conversation started. So I glanced over to the car that we were standing next to. Its roof had been crushed by a love seat. "This ours?" I asked, nodding to the car and the love seat. "Tangentially," she said. "You recording?" "I can if you want me to," I said. "Some people prefer me not to." "I want you to," Van said. "You're on the job. You should be recording." "You got it," I said, and started recording. I started walking around the car, getting the thing from every angle. The safety glass in the car windows had shattered and a few nuggets had crumbled off. The car had diplomatic plates. I glanced over, and about 10 yards away, a man was on his phone, yelling at someone in what appeared to be Armenian. I was tempted to translate the yelling. Van watched me as I did it, still not saying anything. When I was done, I looked up and saw a hole in the side of the hotel, 7 floors up. "That where the love seat came from?" I asked. "That's probably a good guess," Van said. She took the cigarette out of her mouth and slid it into her suit jacket. "We going up there?" "I was waiting on you," Van said. "Sorry," I said, and looked up again. "Metro Police there already?" Van nodded. "Picked up the call from their network. Their alleged perp is an integrator, which puts it into our territory." "Have you told that to the police yet?" I asked. "I was waiting on you," Van repeated. "Sorry," I said again. Van motioned with her head toward the lobby. We went inside and took the elevator to the 7th floor, from which the love seat had been flung. Van pinned her FBI badge to her lapel. I slotted mine into my chest display. The elevator doors opened up and a uniformed cop was there. She held up her hand to stop us from getting off. We both pointed to our badges. She grimaced and let us pass, whispering into her handset as she did so. We aimed for the room that had cops all around the door. We got about halfway to it when a woman poked her head out of the room, looked around, spied us, and stomped over. I glanced over at Van, who had a smirk on her face. "Detective Trin," Van said as the woman came up. "No," Trin said. "No way. This has nothing to do with you, Les." "It's nice to see you too," Van said. "And wrong, your perp is an integrator. You know what that means." All suspected crimes involving personal transports or integrators are assumed to have an interstate component, I said, quoting the Bureau handbook. Trin looked over at me sourly, then made a show of ignoring me to speak to Van. I tucked away that bit of personal interaction for later. I don't know my perps and integrator, she said to Van. I do, Van said. When your officer on scene called it in, he ID'd the perp. It's Nicholas Bell. Bell's an integrator. He's in our database. He pinged the moment your guy ran him. I turned my head to look at Van at the mention of the name, but she kept looking at Trin. Just because he's got the same name doesn't make him an integrator, Trin said. Come on, Trin, Van said. Are we really going to do this in front of the children? It took me a second to realize Van was talking about me and the uniformed cops. You know it's a pissing match you're going to lose. Let us in, let us do our job. If it turns out everyone involved was in D.C. at the time, we'll turn over everything we have and be out of your hair. Let's play nice and do this all friendly. Or I could not be friendly. You remember how that goes. Trin turned and stomped back to the hotel room without another word. I'm missing some context, I said. You got about all you need, Van said. She headed to the room, number 714. I followed. There was a dead body in the room, on the floor, face down in the carpet, throat cut. The carpet was soaked in blood. There were sprays of blood on the walls, on the bed, and on the remaining seat in the room. A breeze turned in the room, provided by the gaping hole in the wall-length window that the love seat had gone through. Van looked at the dead body. Do we know who he is? No ID, Trin said. We're working on it. Van looked around, trying to find something. Where's Nicholas Bell? She asked Trin. Trin smiled thinly. At the precinct, she said. The first officer on the scene subdued him, and we sent him off before you got here. Who is the officer? Van asked. Timmons, Trin said. He's not here. I need his arrest feed, Van said. I don't now, Trin, Van said. You know my public address. Give it to Timmons. Trin turned away, annoyed, but pulled out her phone and spoke into it. Van pointed to the uniformed officer in the room. Anything moved or touched? Not by us, he said. Van nodded. Shane. Yeah? I said. Make a map, Van said. Make it detailed. Mind the glass. On it, I said. My recording mode was already on. I overlaid a three-dimensional grid on top of it, marking off everything I could see and making it easier to identify where I needed to look behind and under things. I walked the room, carefully, filling in the nooks and crannies. I knelt down when I got to the bed, turning on my headlight to make sure I got all the details. And there were, in fact, details to note under the bed. There's a glass under here, I said to Van. It's broken and covered in blood. I stood up and pointed over to the room's desk, which featured a set of glasses and a couple of bottles of water. There are also glass shards on the floor by the desk. Guessing that's our murder weapon. You done with your map? Van said. Almost, I said. I took a few more passes around the room to pick up the spots I'd missed. I assume you also made your own map? Van said to Trin. We got the tech on the way, Trin said, and we've got the feeds from the officers on the scene. I want all of them, Van said. I'll send you Shane's map, too. Fine, Trin said, annoyed. Anything else? That's it for now, Van said. Then if you don't mind stepping away from my crime scene, I have work to do, Trin said. Van smiled at Trin and left the room. I followed. Metro Police always like that? I asked as we stepped into the elevator. No one likes the feds stepping into their turf, Van said. They're never happy to see us. Most of them are more polite. Trin has some issues. Issues with us or issues with you? I asked. Van smiled again. The elevator opened to the lobby. Do you mind if I smoke? Van asked. She was driving manually toward the precinct house and fumbling for a package of cigarettes, real ones this time. It was her car. There was no law against it there. I'm immune to secondhand smoke, if that's what you're asking, I said. Cute. She fished out a cigarette and punched in the car lighter to warm it up. I dialed down my sense of smell as she did so. Access my box on the FBI server and tell me if the arrest feed is there yet, she said. How am I going to do that, I asked. I gave you access yesterday, Van said. You did? You're my partner now. I appreciate that, I said. But what would you have done if you met me and decided I was an untrustworthy asshole? Van shrugged. My last partner was an untrustworthy asshole. I shared my box with her. What happened to her? I asked. She got shot, Van said. Line of duty? I asked. Not really, Van said. She was at the firing range and shot herself in the gut. There's some debate about whether it was accidental or not. Took disability and retired. I didn't mind. Well, I said, I promise not to shoot myself in the gut. Two body jokes in under a minute, Van said. It's almost like you're trying to make a point or something. Just making sure you're comfortable with me, I said. Not everyone knows what to do with a Hayden when they meet one. You're not my first, she said. The lighter had popped out and she fished it out of its socket, lighting her cigarette. That should be obvious considering our beat. Have you accessed the arrest feed yet? Hold on. I popped into the Bureau's evidence server and pulled up Van's box. The file was there, freshly arrived. It's here, I said. Run it, Van said. You want me to port it to the dash? I'm driving. Auto drive is a thing that happens. Van shook her head. This is a Bureau car, she said. Lowest bidder auto drive is not something you want to trust. Fair point, I said. I fired up the arrest feed. It was janky and low res. The Metro Police, like the Bureau, probably contracted their tech to the lowest bidder. The view was FPS stereo mode, which probably meant the camera was attached to protective eyewear. The recording started as the cop, Timmons, got off the elevator on the 7th floor, stun gun drawn. At the door of room 714, there was a Watergate security officer, resplendent in a bad-fit mustard yellow uniform. As the feed got closer, the security officer's taser came into view. The security officer looked like he was going to crap himself. Timmons navigated around the security officer, and the image of a man sitting on the bed, hands up, floated into view. His face and shirt were streaked with blood. The image jerked, and Timmons took a long look at the dead man on the blood-soaked carpet. The view jerked back up to the man on the bed, hands still up. Is he dead? Asked a voice, which I assumed was Timmons's. The man on the bed looked down at the man on the carpet. Yeah, I think he is, he said. Why the fuck did you kill him? Timmons asked. The man on the bed turned back to Timmons. I don't think I did, he said. Look. Then Timmons zapped the man. He jerked and twisted and fell off the bed, collapsing into the carpet, mirroring the dead man. Interesting, I said. What? Van asked. Timmons was barely in the room before he zapped our perp. Bell, Van said. Yeah, I said. Speaking of which, does that name sound familiar to you? Did Bell say anything before he got zapped? Van asked, ignoring my question. Timmons asked him why he killed that guy, I said. Bell said he didn't think he did. Van frowned at that. What? I asked. Van glanced over to me again and had a look that told me she wasn't looking at me, but at my PT. That's a new model, she said. Yeah, I said, Sebring Warner 660XS. Sebring Warner 600 line isn't cheap, Van said. No, I admitted. Lease payments are a little steep on a rookie FBI salary. Is this how we're going to do this? I asked. I'm just making an observation, Van said. Fine, I said. I assume they told you something about me when they assigned me to you as a partner? They did. And I assume you know about the Hayden community because it's your beat. Yes. Then let's skip the part where you pretend not to know who I am and who my family is and how I can afford a Sebring Warner 660, I said. Van smiled and stubbed out her cigarette on the side window and lowered the window to chuck out the butt. I saw you got grief on the Agora for showing up to work yesterday, she said. Nothing I haven't gotten before for other things, I said. Nothing I can't handle. Is this going to be a problem? You being you? Yeah, I said. Why would it be a problem? Van asked. When I went to the academy, I knew people there thought I was there as an affectation, I said. That I was just farting around until my trust fund vested or something. Has it? Van asked. Your trust fund, I mean, vested. Before I even went to the academy, I said. Van snickered at this. No problems, she said. You sure? Yes. And anyway, it's good that you have a high-end threep, she said, using the slang term for a personal transport. It means that map of yours is actually going to have a useful resolution, which works because I don't trust Trin to send me anything helpful. The arrest feed was messy and fuzzy, right? Yeah, I said. It's bullshit, Van said. Metro Eyewear feeds auto-stabilize and record at 4K resolution. Trin probably told Timmons to shitty it up before sending it because she's an asshole like that. So you're using me for my superior tech abilities, I said. Yes, I am, Van said. Is that going to be a problem? No, I said. It's nice to be appreciated for what I can do. Good, Van said, turning into the precinct house parking lot, because I'm going to be asking you to do a lot.